Thank you, Pastor Sam and worship team. Good morning. Scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3. We did it. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And I hope you'll look it up and keep it looked up while we walk through it together in just a few minutes. Would you stand together with me while I read the scripture? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Here's what he wrote. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. May our Lord bless this brief reading and reflection on his revelation to us. Amen. Thank you all. Now, reading Ephesians chapters 1 and 2, as we have done for 3 months, is intense. We need a break. Ephesians chapter 3 offers a brief break. It also offers a glimpse into the man behind the letter. As a rule, the Apostle Paul talked about himself only to establish his credentials or to enlighten readers about the origins and implications of his remarkable public life. That's the case here. I hope you find it as fascinating as I do. The first thing we learn about Paul is in verse 1 of chapter 3. Here's what it says. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. The arresting word here is prisoner. Paul was not using pious rhetoric. He was in custody, behind bars, off the street. Actually, he was under house arrest in his own rented house somewhere in the city of Rome. Now, there's an idea for prison overcrowding. We should get all non-felons, give them their private house, and ask them to earn their room and board while they serve out their terms. But I digress. The Apostle Paul could not leave his house. He was actually chained either to a soldier or to some fixed object in the house. When he says here in verse 1 that he was the prisoner of Christ Jesus, what he meant was that he was in prison because of his service for Christ. The second thing we learn about Paul in verse 2 is subtle. So let me be subtle. It appeals to a streak in my personality that likes to deal with details. What I need to do here is to quote for you the last verse of chapter 2 and the first two verses of chapter 3. And what I want you to listen for is the change in mood. Ready? In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God through his Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Jesus Christ on behalf of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Did you hear it? Did you feel it? And the apostle roared up the northbound lanes on the Ephesus bypass to tell the Ephesians one thing, and then, like a car chase out of a Fast and Furious movie, Tire squeal, engine revs. The apostle makes an immediate U-turn, crosses the median, heads down southbound to tell the Ephesians something entirely different. What's going on here? That's the way people talk. Do you ever really listen to how people talk? Sometimes they don't even use complete sentences. They change the subject. They can put words together that are not even related to each other. I heard a very well-spoken man in this church one time say something, and this is almost verbatim. He said, "Well, yes, no. You see," and nobody thought anything about it. But Ephesians is a letter. It's not a conversation. So how did it come to be written here the way people talk? Well, here's something you should know about Paul. He did not write all of his own letters by hand. He used a secretary and dictated to the secretary. Now, that had to cause problems. Can you imagine this? I mean, if you're dictating to a secretary and the secretary writes down ink and parchment what you just said, and then you say, "Oh no, I don't like that. I'd like to say something different." The secretary will say to you, "What am I supposed to do? I can't erase this. I don't have a block and delete in this parchment." It's the kind of thing that's got to stay there. And if I keep crossing lines out, this letter's going to be a mess. And you don't want me to copy the whole thing over from the start, please. Tell me you don't want me to copy the whole thing over from the start. And Paul said, "Oh, no. But I do have to say something else before I get back to my main point." And so he continued his digression here, even though it brought about an abrupt change in the flow of the writing. But it made his secretary happy, and you and I are not bothered terribly from our enjoyment of Ephesians. I also have good news. He came back to what he started in verse 1, but we have to wait until verse 14, which means you have to wait 2 weeks. Can you do that? The thing that somehow got Paul off track and that nearly gave his secretary heartburn was what he called in verse 2 the administration of God's grace. We have talked about God's grace. The biblical word grace means God's act of kindness on Good Friday for people who do not deserve it. But grace, like good medicine, has to be administered properly, and it had to be administered to the whole wide world. How God was going to do that was the mystery. He gave Paul a pivotal role in doing that. The administration of God's grace, Paul says there in verse 3, is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly, as I have already written in chapters 1 and 2. It feels like Paul is speaking directly to us in the next verses 4 and 5. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. He's going to talk about that revelation in much greater detail in verses 6 through 13, and we will look at that next Sunday. But for today, I would like to offer you a meditation on the last words of verse 3. As I have already written briefly. Can you imagine writing or dictating Ephesians 1 and 2 without notes? All of that just came flowing out of Paul's heart like water out of a spigot while he was in jail. Truth to tell, he had been imprisoned for almost 4 years. The Roman legal system had put his life on hold for nearly 4 years. A lesser man would have had a world-class pity party, cursed those despotic Romans, and wondered, why do all these bad things always happen to me? Paul wrote Ephesians. He dictated it out of the joy and the clarity of his thinking. And I can tell you how he did it. You think about what you love. I do mean think. I don't mean what just pops up in your mind like corn popping in a cooker. That's impulse. Now that's the sort of thing that have scraps of memory, or our parrot-like imitation of the tired cliches we hear over and over and over in mass media. Real love generates real thought. The revelation that had been a mystery to the Apostle Paul filled his heart. The church that solved the mystery captured his love. And you know, it really didn't matter about the parchment. It was inconvenient, but it didn't matter. Prison was not a hurdle. Putting his life on hold for nearly 4 years or more became an opportunity to think, and out came Ephesians. And Paul still speaks with greater relevance. Than the joyless pursuit of power and money that fills our dishonest age. So I have a question for you. Does Paul's summary of the meaning of Christ and does his summary of the meaning of the church, does that capture your heart? What does capture your heart? Does anything capture your heart? Or is your life just one blasted thing after the other, world without end? Amen. You know, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are part of the world's longest running story of the meaning of human life. It is worth your love. It's worth all the attention you can ever give it. Even if you're not yet a follower of Christ, you're still part of the story. I mean, this story doesn't leave anybody out, and it offers to people everywhere an invitation to make this their story. Central to the story is communion. If you're a follower of Christ, even if you're not a part of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, you are one of us. And we want you to eat and to drink the Lord's Supper with us. If you're not yet a follower of Christ, why not become one today, right here, right now? Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to become your Savior and your Lord, and He will meet you far more than halfway, and that can be your first baby step on the journey of faith. We'll pray for the bread. We distribute it. We eat it together. We pray for the cup. We distribute it. We drink it together. May God bless you as you commune with Christ, who is the center of this longest running story of the meaning of the human experience. Our brother Lanny Weaver will give thanks for the bread. Lanny, thank you.